Hey everybody, welcome to the podcast. My name is Peter Augustin. This is The House List. It is my show. Thank you so much for tuning in. We got an amazing episode today. I can't wait to share this with you. Now, this is an archived conversation, almost lost to space and time, found on an old cassette in a shoebox somewhere in Western Massachusetts. By Jameson Grillo, who actually is the interviewer in today's episode. So this is what I'm hoping will lend itself towards perhaps more archival style interviews and conversations. I'd love to be able to share some of my old stuff, and you saw that with our 100th episode with MF Doom, and perhaps share conversations that other peers of mine have had. This one is an amazing version of that, recorded in 1990. Now, this is a couple different conversations that we turned into one episode for you to enjoy. And let me tell you, man, like, I've had a lot of fun putting it together, a lot of laughs, had several phone conversations with Jameson as we set this up. And I think you're going to dig this. So let me set it up a little bit. First, I want to say shout out to Jerry, who edited this. This was definitely had a lot of moving parts to it. So I appreciate his time and effort, and the people at the Pantheon Podcast Network too for their work on this one. So setting it up, Jameson Grillo is, many might know him really from the record world, both in the pressing and distribution kind of arm, which he does more of now with his store, Redline Music Distribution. It's a, you know, kind of retail distro, but he comes out of radio, college radio. And in 1990, he was running around Boston interviewing people with a handheld cassette deck for Northeastern University. He had a radio show on their station, WRBB, from 1988 to 1991. Now, this is two different interviews that are actually recorded in a couple different segments. KRS-One on October 9th, 1990, and X-Clan on October 22nd, 1990. So, those 1990 for both of those artists was pretty pivotal. KRS had just put out Edutainment earlier that year, and riding high off the success and critical acclaim of Criminal Minded, X-Clan had just released their debut, To the East Blackward, which is a masterpiece, an absolute, you know, came out of, like, you know, just nowhere, I guess, seemingly, and really captivated, like, a lot of people, both musically and through their music videos. And so, and this is Jameson kind of interviewing them at different places in Boston. Most of the KRS segment is, well, part of it is a phone interview, and the other part is at a nightclub in South Boston called The Channel. And this is actually intended for the, you know, WRBB show, Jameson's show, the Saturday Night Rap Devastation show, first with his partner DJ Rusty the Toe Jammer, and then DJ Shame, of course, and many people might know from Vinyl Reanimators, a great Boston producer and record collector. And so KRS and D-Nice, yes, that D-Nice that you know from Instagram Live, we're doing a show at The Channel in South Boston on October 9th, 1990. And part of the audio was caught in the backstage of that club. Some real gems and jewels are dropped in this conversation. And it's a funny contrast from the KRS-One to the X-Clan conversation. Now, X-Clan was recorded at another nightclub in Boston on October 22nd, 1990, at the Hub Club. This is in downtown Boston. The show was X-Clan and DJ Clark Kent. And this was recorded backstage with Brother J, Professor X, may he rest in peace, as well as the other members were there too. Paradise and Sugar Shaft. Also, rest in peace to Sugar Shaft too. And it's pretty amazing. Now, that one we had to tweak some editing to kind of make it sound right. But there's some jewels in that as well. And some amazing radio drops too, which I share and include. And at the very end, as a very special treat, Jameson that night actually was recording some of the concert with his handheld tape deck cassette recorder. And I share a little portion of Clark Kent cutting it up. Basically, like, you know, he's holding up the tape recorder in the back of the club. So it paints a picture of what that nightclub experience was like, and hearing him in 1990. And Clark Kent was popping off in 90, just as much as he is right now. He's a pretty incredible piece to the hip-hop puzzle, too. And it's pretty amazing to hear the crowd reaction to these particular records at that time, too. And knowing where these artists were all at in their career, too. Because 90 was just, like, really, like, a turning point in many ways. And then Jameson himself would go on to do a lot of work in the radio promotion game. So, you know, I started my whole musical career, started at college radio. And I know a lot of people from that world, especially if you're like, you know, kind of grew up in the 80s and early 90s, then, you know, college radio played a very, very important part to learning about music. Regardless of the genre, but for hip hop in particular, because it was kind of the only place to hear, you know, album cuts and B-sides and, like, you know, independent records, because commercial radio wasn't playing any hip hop at all, or very scarcely, especially if you ventured anywhere outside of a major metropolitan area. You know, you either saw a music video or had a cassette dub of something. Or if you lived near a good college radio station, then that's how you got exposed to a lot of really great stuff. And so this is a great, you know, tribute to that art form, too. And just an amazing snapshot of everybody in this period of time. So I'm going to write more about it in the bio of the podcast. So if you want to read a little bit more, get a little more specific. And if you enjoy this, please subscribe to my show, The House List. Been doing it for 3+ years now. There's lots of amazing episodes to go back and check, and to many great DJ mixes as well. And I just appreciate your guys' time and energy listening to my show whenever you can. So shout out to Jameson. You know, this started with us just on the phone catching up during this time of quarantine. And he's like, oh, I just found this X-Clan interview. And I was like, yo, my man, I got to hear that. And then turned it into this. KRS-One, X-Clan, and a little snippet of Clark Kent with some amazing drops. And I slipped in an unreleased BDP song, all for you guys, from 1990, only here on The House List. Hope you guys enjoy. Peace.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello. Yeah, is Chris there?
Yeah.
You ready? What's up, buddy? I'm fucking away. What's up?
Are you ready to take this interview?
I'm ready, G.
Huh?
I'm ready. I got everything prepared. We all set. We just had a little problems finding the recorder here. We located it, though.
Okay, so the recorder's ready.
It's located. I got the questions in front of me.
End of story. Here's KRS-One.
Okay.
Yes, what's up?
How you doing, Chris?
I'm all right.
My name's Jameson. I work for the station here. I do a rap show here.
Oh, okay.
On cool. Saturday nights. I had met you a while back in Atlanta. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you remember. But, yeah, okay, I got some questions here for you. First of all, I just want you to give a little bit of history of BDP and its members.
Boogie Down Productions started in 1985 in the Bronx, out of a place called the Franklin Men's Shelter, in which I was a client at the shelter, and Scott Sterling, better known as Scott LaRock, was a social worker at the shelter. And what happened is, at that time, the nicknames of different boroughs were Queens, Manhattan, Brooklyn, and Bronx. It was really in the Staten Island and Long Island. More Long Island than Staten Island. But it was these boroughs that rap was coming up large in. And every borough nicknamed itself. Like Manhattan was Money Making Manhattan, Brooklyn was badass Brooklyn, Long Island was Strong Island.
Brook City, New Jersey, and the whole nine.
Money earned in Mount Vernon and so on. So the Bronx was the boogie down Bronx.
Okay.
So being that our production company came out of the Bronx, we called ourselves A Boogie Down Production. So through the years, left the name of the group, and it just became Boogie Down Productions, and that's how the name began. Ultimately, I wrote my first record, it was two records actually, I wrote the same time and the same night. One record was called Advance, which was about nuclear war, and another record was called Stop the Violence. And we tried to shop these two records to the major companies all over the place. Because in New York, there's a company on every block. And we tried to shop it, but it didn't work. Because they felt as though I was too preachy. They said, you have to sound more like LL Cool J. In other words, say nothing.
Back then it was different than...
Huh?
Well, back then it was different than now, more conscious raps.
Oh, yeah, well, back then there was no conscious
rap. Yeah, it was all hardcore.
Hardcore, and that's where we came in.
Okay.
We felt as though the conscious rap should be in the industry.
Okay.
So that's when we released Criminal Minded. We finally got a deal because we were talking nothing. I put a record out called South Bronx, in which I insinuated for the first time in rap music that I was a teacher. And the kids got off on somebody being a teacher in rap music. That was back in 1986. So what happened after that was we dropped Criminal Minded, and it spoke of socially orientated issues going on in the street, but in a hardcore manner, like stop selling your body for crack, which is the P is free. Listen to my 9mm go bang, the life of a drug dealer, and so on and so on. So from there, we didn't get paid for that record. We got jerked, Criminal Minded.
Really?
Right. They didn't want to pay us a dime.
Oh, man.
For none of the records, the 12 inches or the album, and we had to leave. So we left.
Was it independent or?
They was an independent, B-Boy Records. I owned part of the company, but I was too ignorant in business to really realize that I really didn't own anything. I did most of the work.
But they were jerking you in return.
They were jerking me in return, me and Scott in return, and every other act they had on the label.
They did have a couple acts I remember, too, back
then. Right, you know, so that's basically where that was at. And we left and went to sign up with Jive Records. We went to Warner Brothers, and Warner Brothers said, yeah, they'd sign us. But then Scott was killed in the Bronx, and Warner Brothers pulled out of the deal, saying, you know, this is not a whole group anymore. We were paying for a whole group. Now it's not a whole group. We're sorry, Chris. Goodbye. So I went to Jive Records and made the deal there and put out By All Means Necessary, which was my next step towards conscious music. Again, when By All Means Necessary came out, there was no conscious music out at that point.
So still, you're still the forefront, the leader in that.
Right. Well, yes, of course.
Basically, the first person.
Definitely. I mean, is this what I'm here for?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And then basically that's it. After By All Means Necessary kicked off and the industry saw that Boogie Down Productions was not to be messed with or doubted, then everyone else felt as though it was safe to become conscious. And I say safe because then it was money making. My first Criminal Minded was platinum, and By All Means Necessary was gold. And it was like, oh, well, you can make money saying something of some relevance.
Uh-huh, okay.
So then the record company started opening their minds and opening their pockets to conscious rap music.
Along with other record companies as well.
Right.
Okay, who are some of your influences?
The Mirror.
All right. That's the best one?
That's the best influence. That's my biggest influence. There's a lot of people that I give respect to.
Yeah, okay.
But, because there are a few, I mean, in certain people's lives, there are people who influence them to do what they do.
Uh-huh.
But unfortunately, and I say unfortunately, in my life, I never had that. I never,
no one to look up to, you know?
Right. I had very few people to look up to. I really wasn't a fan of anybody's music. I always felt as though I can do better, which was an egotistical pride statement. But that's just how I felt always relied on self to do whatever.
Mm-hmm. All right, you produce most of your music, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What other artists have you produced in the past? And tell us about your latest project, I know, with Harmony and Ziggy Marley.
Mm-hmm. Well, I produced Just Ice. He put out 4 albums so far. I did 2 of them. The second and the third album, his biggest selling albums, were mm-hmm. produced by me.
Yeah, and you co-rapped with, I know, in a couple of them, you rhymed with him.
Right, exactly. We did Steady B, Latifah, Young MC, Stop the Violence Movement, self-destruction record, R.E.M., which is a record that's coming out with BDP and R.E.M., Miss Melody,
uh-huh.
D-Nice, of course, myself, all of my albums, and,
the list goes on and on, basically.
Right, I mean, what I was going to say is I should make a list to try and keep track, but that's what's on the top of my head right now.
Okay.
Oh, and Sly and Robbie.
Oh, yeah, I know you did that.
Right, the production company itself, though, branches out with another gentleman by the name of Sidney Mills. He produces Shelly Thunder, but he's a Boogie Down production producer.
Oh, okay.
He produced Shelly Thunder and Shinehead and Steel Pulse and a whole host of, like, reggae 12 inches and so on, you know, within the industry and so on. So what happened, just recently, I picked up Ziggy Marley to produce. We just produced the Neville Brothers and also Shabba Ranks album we're getting ready to produce.
Oh, great.
Just put out Harmony's album.
Yeah, tell us a little bit about Harmony.
Harmony is Melody's sister. My sister-in-law, I just say she's my sister. And I got sick of hearing her sing in the kitchen. You know, I challenged her one day, and she challenged me, and we just went for it. Her thing was, well, if you think I'm all that, get me a deal and put me out. I said, well, if you think you can hang out, I'll get you a deal and put you out.
And, okay, some kind of battle thing.
Right. Exactly. So that's how we started, and I put her on Virgin Records, and Virgin was very happy with her, very pleased with what they got, and the album, her style is modern Africa. We think that there's not enough African women.
Doing about self-conscious, you mean?
Right. Women with pride.
Okay.
In other words, you don't have to sell a record with a tight skirt on. And that's basically every time you see any woman, this goes for black, white, anybody,
mm-hmm.
there's a tight skirt on, or they're showing some tits, or they're showing their butt, or something. And it's good for a point, you know, if you're into sex, sex only, which is the mass that the people are in.
Sex sells everything these days.
Exactly. Then that's cool, if that's what you're all about, but we'd like to offer the alternative. We always offer the alternative. So we offer the alternative of seeing someone who can sing and rap, and look African, so to speak, or come into commercialized music as an African or dressed African.
It's good to make a change like that as well.
Right.
What are some of the songs? What's the 12-inch out right now?
The 12-inch out right now is called Pound Cake. Highly commercialized 12-inch, really not saying much of anything.
Okay.
It's really an introduction song to herself, talking about Boogie Down Productions. We appear in the video. It's really just a regular commercial record. It's safe.
So you're waiting to drop the knowledge stuff a little bit later today.
Right, exactly. When she gets leverage in the industry. It's similar. I'm using the same formula that I used in my career. It's the same formula. I put out Criminal Minded, grasp the hardcore audience. Then we began to teach them. It doesn't make sense to just come out, talk, teaching the people, and you don't have their respect.
Yeah.
So
okay.
we put...
get them subtly.
Right, exactly. And, you know, a good teacher never really tells you he's teaching you. You know, a good teacher is just teaching you, you know.
You just teach it.
Right.
Okay. What brought about the change from Criminal Mind to Stop the Violence? And also, could you include your involvement with the Stop the Violence movement and the National Urban League?
Right. Well, the change really was an outer change, not too much of an inner change. Like I said before, the first record I wrote was Stop the Violence, but I couldn't get a deal for it. So I had to compromise myself to come out on that BS level just to get a deal, just to be heard. So I did. And what happened was when Criminal Mind came out, which was the hardcore stuff, but still socially orientated, it still had issues about what's going on in the street. We then had the opportunity, after I gained that leverage, I had the opportunity to now do more and more of what I wanted to do, not more and more of what the public was dictating to me to do. The public would have me do Criminal Minded albums all year, every year, so on and so on, but that's not what I'm here to do. I let NWA and all of them do that. I'll come out and be more of on the conscious side of music. I think Criminal Minded, I love Criminal Minded is probably one of my best albums.
That was
very, very good album. But I have two things that I go by. One is that I never do the same style twice. And another thing that I go by is I'm here to advance the minds of youth. Even if that means destroying my own career, the minds of youth must be advanced because I can do anything. I mean, I really feel as though anything that I'm in, I'll make money at. So money's not really my main objective. I mean, I love making money. In American capitalism, money is the number one goal. But by no means is it first. Respect is first. Honor is first. Integrity is first. Quality is first. Money should come because of those things. You can have respect and have money. You can't have money and respect. Now, some people have money and respect, but they're very few and far apart. That's basically the transition between Criminal Minded and Stop the Violence.
The movement itself is
right.
You started the whole movement, right?
Right. I didn't start.
Oh, you didn't start? Okay.
I was really one of the thinkers on the movement.
Uh-huh, okay.
And a woman named Ann Carley started Stop the Violence as a movement. Because she felt as though, one day we did a show at, Nassau Coliseum. And a kid got killed for his gold chain there. And it was really stupid how he died, you know. It was just something that should not have happened. But it happened. Mm-hmm. And Ann Carley got very upset because it was a big rap show. And, of course, the press came down. And it was like, oh, well, rap breeds violence.
Yeah.
And
once again.
And she got very mad and upset. So she said, well, what we should do, Chris, is remix your Stop the Violence record, because the media was not pumping up Stop the Violence at all. They was more paying attention to my philosophy, which was the single. They never really paid attention to Stop the Violence. That was just an album record. So what happened was, she said we should remix Stop the Violence and put a whole bunch of rappers on it and put it back out as an industry message to the masses and to the industry. And I said no. I got very upset because I felt as though that you could just put the record Stop the Violence out and that could be the message to the industry and to the masses. I didn't feel as though that the rest of the artists really had the integrity, the respect, nor the knowledge to say Stop the Violence. So what happened was I don't want to use the word beg, but she convinced me to do the project. And being that Ann looked out for me for a while, she was probably the only woman in Jive and RCA.
Oh, that's where she works. Okay.
She works for Jive. Right? She's the vice president of Jive.
Oh, okay.
She was more revolutionary than I was when putting together the By All Means Necessary album. She pushed for the gun on the cover. She got the gun on the cover. It was her that got these things going.
So then from there, got involved with the National Urban League.
After both myself, Nelson George, who then became involved, and Carly, I never decided that the money should go to the Urban League. They decided that the money should go to the Urban League. I thought that the money should be put into things like advertisement and propaganda to promote more self-esteem and so on. Things that kids can tangibly see, read, or have in their hand for free. And they didn't feel that way. They felt as though that it was... Actually, I never was given a reason, but my opinion is that it was too much work for them and it wouldn't have happened. But I respected that anyway. If you can't do it, say you can't do it from the beginning. And what happened was we then all decided that the money should just go to the Urban League. So the money went to the Urban League. But what's recently happened is that I've started another movement.
Yeah, that's what I'm going to ask you about. HEAL,
right, called Human Education Against Lies, which it isn't a downplay of the Stop the Violence movement or in competition with it at all. As a matter of fact, it's the second step. The Stop the Violence movement was about self-destruction. This movement is about self-construction.
Okay.
We're about solutions. We really don't want to talk about the problem unless we have a solution to the problem. And HEAL is a humanist organization. We can care less about black and white. Most people get upset with me when I say that I'm not pro-black, but I'm not. I'm pro-human. I think before you're a color, before you are a religion, before you're an occupation, you're a human being. And most people cheat themselves out of their humanity to become black or to become white or so on. And another aspect of the ideologies of HEAL is that I feel as though that if we say in one breath that all of humanity walked out of Africa and Africa is the home of humanity, then that would make the African a humanist, not pro-black. And most people don't realize that if humanity walked out of Africa, the African then is the father of humanity and should be a humanist, not an African or pro-African or pro-black or whatever. Hold on, someone's at my door.
All right. Put this on pause.
Management, who was at the door?
Management.
We'll pull out one more question and we'll just...
It's time to go?
Yeah,
oh, man,
good.
I got like these three crazy good questions too.
He's pulling the phone.
Oh, no.
Sorry, my friend, I gotta rock him into another interview.
Are you serious?
Hello. Check 1, 2, 1, 2, 1, 2. Check. Check.
Come on, Selector.
Alright, come, Selector. Alright. About the HEAL with the LL Cool J and all them, I know you're doing a rhyme.
The movement is called Human Education Against Lies. It focuses on humanity, not pro-black or pro-white or pro-anything. Before you're a color, you're a human being. Most people cheat themselves out of their own humanity to become black or to become white or a religion or a job. HEAL is human education against the lies. Lies like Aristotle is the father of metaphysics. Aristotle was a petty thief and a liar. Things like Dick Tracy isn't a racist. Things like Dick Tracy was... Dick Tracy is a racist because in 1930, a detective in the 1930s was raping and robbing and killing black people. So to show Dick Tracy as a movie is a total blatant disrespect. Things like that we're going to bring out. And it simply is to raise the intelligence of the masses, of the people by them questioning what's in their own head. The revolution starts up here. Here's where the revolution starts. The revolution is not, and I'm pointing to my head. The revolution does not start with you running down the street with a Uzi. The revolution starts with you rebelling against what you've been taught for the past 15, 16, however old are you, years. And HEAL is here to heal the minds of the masses of the people by way of free education, free literature. I wrote a book called Civilization versus Technology, which is also the name of the album, Civilization versus Technology. And the album pays for the book. We're looking to put out 16 million books. That's the goal.
Okay, so you're also making a record?
Yes, there's an album.
Mm-hmm. Is it a compilation like Self-Destruction or just you?
No, yeah. It's a bunch of other people also.
Some other artists as well?
Yeah, also on the record, yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Now, you teach a lot through your music and the last few albums. I was curious if the information you use is readily available for a person like myself or my friends?
No.
So it's straight from the mind, basically, right?
Most of what I say is straight from my heart, and it's common sense. The way I've seen myself and logical conclusions to the things that I see, that's basically what I come from. My memory comes from long reading sessions and speaking sessions with other scholars and so on, but I really don't speak from memory unless I'm asked to.
Okay, all right. How do you come up with the concept of edutainment?
Education through entertainment.
Basically.
That's it. And they smash it together, edutainment, or information through entertainment is infotainment. You know, it's just, you just smash it together. It was a trick of words. A poet usually goes crazy after a certain degree of lyrics.
What is your agenda for BDP? And whereas Harmony, D-Nice fit in, are there solo act records attempts for them to go on their own, or will they stay under the umbrella of BDP?
Derek's already on his own, and Harmony's on her own. All
right. Yeah, and Melody. Still down with BDP, then.
Oh yes, of course. It's a massive family, but they're on their own, and you know, matter of fact, tonight's the first night in a long time D-Nice gonna perform with us.
Oh really?
He's too large. He can't even perform with us no more. So tonight's one night. He got a night off, so he's gonna come in and rock the song.
Yeah, he's gonna do one record. Yeah. Uh-huh. That's good. Okay.
That's going to be rock. It's going to be fresh tonight.
All right. Check it out. Do you, because I know you went down that WILD. I don't want to talk about a tape, but they don't even play your record, tell you the truth, until summer, because that's when they have a rap show. I don't know why he took you away.
I know.
I heard they had to beg him to get the record.
Right.
So check it out. College Radio, that's us.
I know what's up.
We support y'all. You know what I'm saying? We support.
I'm the guest speaker with the CMJ.
Oh, where? Because I work for a Soul Record, Hank Shockey.
Be down there. I got a message to the college.
Oh, where? Yes. Okay.
Yes. I know what time it is.
All right. Let's check this question.
But I got to play them games, man.
Oh, yeah. I know what you mean.
I got crazy games to play. Fucking, you know.
All right. Check this question. All right. Do you have any method or way in which incorporate more like yourself? Mine.
No. Program director personally, because then the other you, this block wall of ignorance has got to cease. Either their consciousness dies or they die, and that's the bottom line. I don't think we can change because we're seeing the last dying end of the old-timer program director that's been in the industry for 15 years. The 90s will end them. And the kids who want to hit the college radio, people step up and usually become the program directors and so on. They will then play Boogie Down Productions. Probably some of my early stuff will begin to be played years from now because of the people who respect me now will be program directors one day and play the stuff then. So time is of no essence to me. They either play it now or it'll get played later. They're out of here at the end of the day. I don't care what they do, whether they play my stuff or not. It's truth. And truth can come from anybody's mouth. I don't care where the truth comes from. Truth can come out of anybody's mouth. And that's all I'm here for. That's right. It. The truth. Right. The truth pays me. I don't pay the truth. So ultimately, it's most artists are in this industry, like LL was telling me. He said, yo, Chris, man, I ain't trying to be like you, man. I'm not trying to save the world. That's what he said. Uh-huh. He said, yo, I'm trying to get paid. I just want to be LL. I just want to get paid. And you got to respect that. You got to respect him for what it is. And that's basically where I'm coming from. I'm not in it for what LL's in it for. I'm in it for the upliftment of humanity because I know the people will stand behind you even if you don't have money.
Get paid at the same time, but you're right. I'd be more for the upliftment.
Well,
first.
See what I
upliftment
do.
Upliftment first, and then get
upliftment
paid.
First, and then first get paid priority. Because you can. You can. Most people think that intelligence doesn't pay off.
People listen to you,
but
too.
I go gold and platinum just like knuckleheads to be talking that nonsense.
Yeah.
Same money is spent in the same way on the same level.
Uh-huh.
You know.
5 more minutes.
All right. 5.
Yeah.
You. 5'10", I'll stay here until forever.
I know. You just came up into it, right?
I'm on a
trip to it. Are you coming to our college?
Who, Harvard?
Northeastern University.
I'm Mike.
All right.
They got to call me. The next single from Edutainment is the it's a three-single thing. The Racist, You Know the Rules and the remix to Dope Beat.
You know what? I got a dope beat.
You got a dope beat.
I got a dope beat.
We got a dope beat.
I got a dope beat.
You got a dope beat.
I got the dope beat.
We got a dope beat.
Some rhyme all right, but they need more delivery. Need more clarity and style when you're dissing me. It's no big mystery. You rhyme for little kids. My style is way advanced. Yours is primitive. How you live? Only for the riches. Making your money, calling black women bitches. Step off. You ain't got the respect. You's a fairy. And I'm a revolutionary. Writing daily. Alex Haley, where's your roots? Now who's played like a flute? Use a new recruit with a mentality like a brute, a barbarian in a fresh silk suit. I'm educated, no need to give you sex. LL takes his shirt off and flex, what's next? All you cherry girl pranksters, wannabe gangsters, wimps and pimps. Self-destruction doesn't pay the rent, it doesn't have to. I'll just crash you. When you disrespect, come correct. Just stay out of my business if you claim you ain't with this. I burn like syphilis. So watch your step if you're stepping up to get this. Can he turn up the heat as we revolutionize and educate the street? I got a dope beat.
You got a dope beat.
I got a dope beat.
We got a dope beat.
I got the dope beat.
You got a dope beat.
I got the dope beat.
We got a dope beat.
Now there are others who call themselves brothers, down with a posse, a tribe, a crew, a clan. Understand, what are you doing now, black man? Trying hard to be the original man? Who? The first man with the first plan? On the first land with the first tan? Who gives a damn? In history, KRS is well advised, but it's something that my brain will memorize. I don't base my whole life on memory. I base my life on my spirit and body chemistry. Africa is the home of humanity, which makes the African a humanist. Challenge me. You gotta learn not to be so concerned with the original man and see the criminal man, yeah, the now man with the now land on the now 10 with the right now genocide master plan. Who I am and self-identity is number one, not memory, son. I got a dope beat.
You got a dope beat.
I got a dope beat.
We got a dope beat.
I got a dope beat.
You got a dope beat.
I got the dope beat.
Paving the path for manhood and womanhood on the God Tip, to the pink caddy, pimp style, to the road, PX.
Ah, what a wonderful ride. As we glide vangloriously, we listen to Saturday Night Rap Devastation with Jameson and DJ Shane on the crossfade. By the way, Brother J,
vanglorious.
This is protected
by the red,
the black,
and the green,
with a key.
Is the word again, man? Sympathy.
About to interview X Clan, Jameson, walking up the stairs. Going to the third floor. About to meet X Clan. Interviewing X Clan. First of all, your names.
Run down the name.
Professor X, the Overseer. To the left of me, I know the listeners can't see it, but Grand Verbalizer, Funkin' Lesson, Brother J. The group consists of the Grand Architect Paradise, and also the rhythm provider, Shooter Shad.
Okay, what's the background? Like, where are you guys from, and how did X-Clan get started?
Brother Jay is from Alabama, Egypt. I'm from Medina, Egypt, via South Carolina, Egypt. The rhythm provider is from South Carolina, Egypt. The Grand Architect is from North Carolina, Egypt.
Alright. Who produces your music? You all produce your music together? And if you have any other projects, I know you have ISIS. What other projects are you working on right now? That's what I'm wondering.
Producing the music, first question, all of us do. Second question is Queen Mother Rage and the Professor X album.
Alright, what's the meaning behind the name X-Clan?
Brother Jay.
Crossroads, family. What we want to represent is a nucleus of the structure that's coming forth to bring youth to another level. And we bring them to the road to a state of mind where they've never been before. We bring them a sense of family that they need to take heed to. Grits and cornbread.
Sense of knowledge as well, yeah? All together.
Sense of purpose and dealing with what's happening with their existence.
Okay. Gotta be careful with the word knowledge in the context it's placed. Because Webster usually dances around there, and Webster's scheme on things is the kind of,
kind of machinery that's got us lost in this existence that we're in right now. So you got to excuse us if we hesitate when that word knowledge comes up. We also hesitate when the word positive comes up, because that seems to be a fine line, a neutral line for anyone to accept what it is that we're attempting to say. I'm saying that we're not selling out that way. There are those that are going to take what we are doing as negative, and we understand it and we welcome it.
Okay. All right, tell me about the Black Watch, how it started and who's involved with it, and what's the agenda for Black Watch?
Well, I'm not going to tell you the agenda, because that's, again, another way of a lot of the movements in the 60s for their demise, because they were so willing to give up their agendas to the public. And then there are those conniving types in the system who use, you know, that kind of information. So I'm not going to...
Music exploits it, basically.
Well, however you see it, I made my point.
Okay.
Black Watch, I oversee the movement. Black Watch's design is to create a podium for black young people to take a stand, you know, against a lot of the atrocities placed in our existence.
All right. So who's involved with it? Yourself, along with others?
The Group X Clan is
Zulu
part
Nation
of...
Nation as well?
Afrika Bambaataa is a member of the Black Watch movement, which his family comes along with, yes.
All right. This is one of my man's question right here. Is Parkin Lesson the revival of the Parliament era?
I think so. I think to a degree, we all came together with a vibe on George Clinton and the Parliament Funkadelic. I have memories of going to concerts to bear witness the birth of Sir Nose. While I witnessed the birth of Sir Nose, in the background, in some concerts, the Black National Anthem would play. So I think it gets more deeper than just the surface of it. That allows George Clinton allows that pink caddy to ride easy.
I fly X-Clan. I'm from Philly. I've seen your videos, and when I see X-Clan, the name X-Clan, I wonder. I try to figure out like what. X-Clan, your name is, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like, X, thinking Malcolm X, not naming yourself as the other man's name, X-Clan.
Look, let me say something to you. We are believers in an old way coming, a new way of thinking. We believe that that one of the reasons why we're trapped in this existence the way we are is that we are used to being told what things are and what things mean. So when you just gave meaning to X-Clan, I welcome that meaning because that's the meaning that you feel comfortable with. You understand what I'm saying to you?
I understand. I'm asking you a question.
I just answered it, actually.
You did.
I just answered it, actually. I'm saying that...
The same thing is, I've been following you. And the question in my mind was that I'm thinking X-Clan. I'm thinking the chicken followers of Malcolm X. Now name yourself of the clan. But what you're saying... X and clan is the meaning of African unity.
Okay, fine.
X clan. But then in other terms,
Isn't that wonderful, so many terms?
Yeah. You got many terms. Listen, I'm also thinking that X clan means X no more of the Ku Klux Klan.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking,
isn't it
to find out.
I keep saying something to you though.
Isn't it wonderful?
Yeah.
How many ways you can see that? That is the purpose.
And that's what I'm thinking.
That's why you don't want me to spoil that. You don't want me to spoil that. You don't want me to spoil that. I think it's wonderful.
Please, because don't. Yes, freedom or death.
No more.
No more.
See, I love that story. I love the name.
Yes.
I love the name. And I think, is it this or is it that? And I have yet to come to like a conclusion of what it is. I just gotta be.
It's so wonderful about it.
And it's beautiful. It's beautiful to me.
Okay. Good. Sweet. I think you got it all.
Yeah, he's got it.
He's
right.
Yeah.
He knows.
Right.
This is my roommate.
You got some meanings too, I'm pretty sure. I got something for you, Weatherman. Do you know anything about the Weatherman?
The Weatherman.
Yeah.
Tells them we're weatherman.
Look at this.
That's a mission for you. Uh-huh. Find out who the Weatherman was.
The Weatherman?
No, don't lie.
Why are you going to do that?
No,
Weatherman were one of the most serious, existence of a movement with a purpose that you ever believe. And you're going to have to check him. I want you to check him.
Okay.
And I'll show you that he might understand. Because I know what you mean, that he might not.
Where shall I find this information?
You know what? He asked me what to pay Cadillac for.
Who?
This brother right here. Well, this person right here.
Did you tell him?
I told him what the Cadillac meant to me.
What does it mean to you?
Cadillac meant to me is the paint Cadillac. When I saw it, it felt good to me because the pink Cadillac meant that was where brothers have been and will always be.
A certain kind of brother, too.
You know it.
Yeah. You know, there's no intellectual masturbation about this brother. This brother here, he does sit on the left-hand side of the street if he has to.
What's up?
We're
somewhat on tour now.
Okay.
Sure, bro. It's been a long time. Actually, you mentioned earlier, we're like caught up in the finishing of some other projects of other groups that are coming from. Uh oh.
that
are coming from the movement. And we're just about to finish Queen Mother's album. And that would be the completion of the first cycle.
What label is that on?
Queen Mother is on Cardiac.
Cardiac.
Which is a subsidiary or a birth from Virgin.
Okay.
Charisma. Yeah.
All right. Do you think you want to do a couple spots for the radio station?
I'm pretty sure that he was expecting that to happen.
Love in the crowd, a cosmic vibe. To my ages has been to the pink caddy. Next stop is the school of common sense.
Viewing the passing as I reside in the hutch of this meteor. Reading the memoirs of Malcolm X. Or walking the paths of Marcus Garvey. We listen to WRBB Boston. By the way, Vanglorious. This is protected by the red, the black, and the green, with a key at the crossroad, sissy.
All right, we're almost done, sir, so just chill. Yeah.
Hey, what's happening, man? We're doing some very constructive.
I'm tired.
And we want society. These are the
I don't want you out here. I'm trying to stay open as a business. It's all.
There's a little about being in
two guys are down there saying they open up
the just doing more than.
Hey, there's honor amongst men. Sometimes thieves, you know. I'm saying we came here to do work for your club to be exciting enough for someone to come. So why don't you just take a chance? Just one little one, because it's only minutes. It ain't even as deep as the drink I asked for, you know? Okay. Yeah. Yeah, go ahead.
Right, now Saturday Night Raptor Station. Jameson, that's me, and that's DJ Shane.
How many names?
Well, say your names, your names too.
Jameson.
And say the JX claim and the whole nine.
But time. I didn't know who it is.
Of course I got to know.
What time it is? Come on now.
Go ahead.
Okay, wait a minute now.
Saturday Night Raptor. Jameson and DJ Shane on the crossfade.
On the crossfade, okay.
Doing work.
Okay. Good. Paving the path for manhood and womanhood on the guard tip. To the pink caddy, pimp style. To the road, PX.
Ah, what a wonderful ride. As we glide vangloriously, we listen to Saturday Night Rap Devastation with Jameson and DJ Shane on the crossfade. By the way, Brother J,
Vanglorious.
This is protected
by the red,
the black,
and the green
with a key.
Is the word again, man?
Sensei!
The plug has been lifted from the unjoint jar. O cascade of black, perfume of the hour.
In the ways of the scale.
The past has been written, rolled and sealed in a scroll.
In the ways of the scale.
The eyes of the hawk ranges the sky unblinking. Open.
In the ways of the scale.
Perfect.
Again, the illogical one. Bring your mind straight to dark side of the sun. Mission for creator is to give no slack. So I step from the void to keep my eyes on black. Now my religion is reality. Come take a drink from the great verb stick. Coming with authority, group of no majority. This is not your gimmick or your fraudulent trick. Now I see children of originals doomed to lose. Teachers and preachers remain confused. Talk about humanists in true black ways. Talking revolution and you're out to entertain. Ignorance, I'll grab you by your crackhead neck. take you back to Egypt where you learn respect. And on one knee and through one way, you follow out the path of the new sun ray. Let it click. Here comes the royal of authority, grouping up the masses of majority. People have a problem with my step, but you see I'm an example of the X. I travel with my bag, with my books and fruits, robes of the proud, now jeans and boots. Tip from the sundial, time for the drum. Dum diddy dum, funk code has begun to the scales.
Above olive trees, I rise like the sun, like the moon above date palms. Where there is light, I enter absolute. Where there is dark, there is none of me. Like the moon above date palms, I rise. I am sworn to life. I am bound to death. I take my oath under the sun.
To who they speak balance. I never ill, I never will, I won't have it. You see, queens are a man and real men don't play. It's like moon for the nighttime and sun for day. I am an African, I don't wear Greek. Must have been reminded of a legendary thief who tried to make Greece sink in Paris into Egypt. But they got gypped cause their mind's not equipped. I see a cave boy and he try to play black. Give a gas face and you're bound to get slapped. And don't play stupid, I'm a pyramid stalker. Witness my soul on the vast crossroad. Chilling with the pharaohs in my ages has been. Doing is forever in your accents when time is but a word and of little concern, and not another second will we bread burn. To walk one way and to walk one path, ways of the scale of the aftermath.
Thank you. Thank you. Now I'm chilling with my man Jameson and DJ Shame. This is Clark Kent. I'm out of here. Y'all be peace on WRBB.